From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, the founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is preaching a series of studies on the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, a subject which is sadly neglected in our day. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Why Remain Captive? The text is Deuteronomy 30 and verse 3. The Lord thy God will turn thy captivity. God's own people may sell themselves into captivity by sin. A very bitter fruit is this, of an exceeding bitter root. What a bondage it is when the child of God is sold under sin, held in chains by Satan, deprived of his liberty, robbed of his power in prayer and his delight in the Lord. Let us watch that we come not into such bondage. But if this has already happened to us, let us by no means despair. But we cannot be held in slavery forever. The Lord Jesus has paid too high a price for our redemption to leave us in the enemy's hand. The way to freedom is, return unto the Lord thy God. Where we first found salvation, we shall find it again. At the foot of Christ's cross, confessing sin, we shall find pardon and deliverance. Moreover, the Lord will have us obey his voice according to all that he has commanded us. And we must do this with all our heart and all our soul, and then our captivity shall end. Often depression of spirit and great misery of soul are removed as soon as we quit our idols and bow ourselves in obedience before the living God. We need not be captives. We may return to Zion's citizenship, and that speedily. Lord, turn our captivity.
Sinners.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts, entitled How We Got Our English Bible. This short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of the message on the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, as he is actually nearing the end of this series on the person and work of the Spirit. As we've already seen, this sin can lie in ascribing the works of the Spirit to the devil, or rejecting what the Holy Spirit teaches about Christ, or refusing God's offer of salvation through him, or perhaps even all of these. Because of the problems that believers often encounter in Hebrews chapter 6, which speaks of those who fall away from believing in Christ, Dr. Cairns is endeavoring to bring some clarity to the passage. This has reference to people who, having known about Christ and the gospel, deliberately and finally turn away, and whom God gives up. Those who have trusted Christ, or truly want to be saved, can be assured that they have not committed the unpardonable sin. And yet there is a warning against trifling with the witness of the Spirit. Now Dr. Cairns brings the closing portion of this message on the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit.
There's a lot to be said for Augustine's idea of final impenitence. You don't have to wait till your deathbed to be finally impenitent. I have known men reach this stage fairly early in life. I have known men go through life without a hope of repentance. I have seen men tremble under the preaching of the gospel and come right up to the point of decision for Jesus Christ, only to turn away, to be thereafter as cold as the Arctic ice to the gospel. Totally impenetrable by any influence for God and for good. The Bible is very clear in this. This then is Paul's description to the Hebrews of the sin that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Notice in Hebrews 6, The reference is to the Holy Spirit. Who is it that enlightens your mind? It's the Holy Spirit. Who is it that gives you an experience of conviction of sin? It's the Holy Spirit. Who is it that through the preaching of the gospel is dealing with your soul? It is the Holy Spirit. Therefore, this kind of sin is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. It's interesting that Paul does actually describe some people who had committed this sin. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, he says, "As Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." He's speaking about apostates, especially those who have a form of godliness but deny the power of it. The denial again is that apostate denial that we've been looking at in Hebrews 6. He describes these people again in Titus 1 verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Jude speaks of them in his little one chapter epistle. In verse 4, he speaks of certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, he says, "There's spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding." Do you see this? Feeding themselves without fear. Feeding themselves without fear. I see them at the Lord's table. I see them sit in the meetings of the church. And they're spots on the holy feast. They're blemishes on the testimony of a church. They feed themselves without any fear of God, without any thought of eternity. They have much profession, but they have no reality. Clouds without water. What a description of a hypocrite. A cloud without water, carried about of winds. Certainly not anchored to Christ. Certainly not stayed upon the blood. Carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's an unforgivable sin. Hell is already reserved for them. These then are descriptions of the apostasy that Paul says cannot be forgiven. There's one final text that I should mention, and I'm only going to mention it in passing. 1 John 5:16. "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death." Most people take this to be the same unpardonable sin, and they take death to be damnation. I have to say that I personally disagree. I believe the death here is physical death. I believe the people who are referred to in this text, unlike all the other texts, here they are true Christians. Here you have disobedient Christians, as you did in 1 Corinthians 11:30. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." It's the sleep of death. The death is physical. There is a sin unto death. There is a sin in the life of a Christian whereby he brings such offense to God and to His truth and His cause in the world that the Lord just takes him home before His time. "And though they die of chastening, yet," in the words of Christ, "they are forgiven in the world to come, for they're covered by the blood of the Lamb." Now then, let's wrap it all up. What's the teaching then? Well, you learn something about the Holy Spirit. You learn something about His personality, Matthew 12. He's as much a person as the Father and the Son. You learn something about His deity. He is as truly God as the Father and the Son. It would be foolish to say you can sin against God and against the Son of God and be forgiven. But the Holy Spirit is much inferior, and yet if you sin against Him, you can't be forgiven. That would be nonsense. So you learn that about the Holy Spirit. You learn something about apostasy. The word apostate is used very easily by many Christians. But in the biblical sense, apostasy is a sin for which there is no forgiveness. You learn something else here. I hope it will be a comfort to some. That there is no ground in any of these texts for the kind of worry and fear and torment that so many people endure. There are some people who denied Christ, blasphemed Christ, lived in open sin, and then they come under conviction and they would love to be saved, and the devil tells them, but maybe you blasphemed the Holy Spirit. You couldn't be saved. I've talked to people like this. I remember dealing with one young person in particular. This was her awful worry. She'd been deep in sin, into witchcraft, into drugs, into the hippie lifestyle. Now she longed for salvation, and yet she was afraid. Maybe I've committed that unpardonable sin. I remember dealing with another young woman who had been deeply, deeply enmeshed in the things of the devil. And when she was struggling out into the light of the gospel, this was the satanic whisper. But is there not a verse that says you can't be forgiven? No, there's not. I read a very simple illustration just this week. A preacher said he was dealing with a young man who wanted to be saved, desired Christ. Yet he was tormented with this thought, I've lived a very wicked life. Maybe there's no forgiveness for me. And the preacher just opened up at Matthew 12. And he said to the young man, having read that, he says, by whom do you desire to be saved? He said, I desire to be saved by Jesus Christ. Do you desire to be saved by one who has a devil and who works by the power of Satan? The young man said, no, I want to be saved by Christ. And immediately the light dawned. Because in Matthew 12, the people who can't be saved are people who won't recognize Christ. They attribute this power to the devil. If there is in any man a desire to be saved by Christ, you have the unalterable proof that by the grace of God he has never committed blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Then there are people who are saved and they have fallen into sin, and the devil brings them to Hebrews 6. The number of Christians I've dealt with over the years that fall into this category, I could hardly calculate. I'm a Christian. I remember coming to Christ and the Lord brought me into life and liberty through the gospel. But I have failed the Lord. And here's a passage that says there's no restoration. Surely now I'm lost. No, my friend. The sin in Hebrews 6 is not a sin that born-again Christians can ever commit. The sin in Hebrews 6 is the sin of blaspheming the blood of Christ, repudiating the cross of Christ, and saying, I will be saved without Christ. That's the sin of Hebrews 6. This cannot be committed by saints. But there's another thing you learn. I want you to think of it very carefully. If you're not saved in this meeting, in the quietness of these closing minutes, I want you to let this sink in. That it's a very dreadful and dangerous thing to trifle with the witness of the Holy Ghost and to sin against light. Now let it sink in. It's a dangerous thing to sin against the light of that Bible. It's a very dangerous thing to trifle with the strivings of the Spirit of God. I've quoted Genesis 6 and 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Every preacher looking through his ministry sees faces rise before his mind of people he has dealt with, people he has preached to, people who were almost persuaded and who trifled with the witness of the Holy Ghost, and apparently God gave them up. I have been at the deathbeds of people who previously had been deeply moved under the preaching of the gospel, yet died without any more thought of Christ or any more desire for Christ than the bed upon which they were lying had desire for Christ. God gave them up. Three times in Romans 1, God speaks of people who trifled. He says, God gave them up. I want to tell you, man or woman, when God gives you up, there's no hope. You could hear Paul preach and you would never be saved. You could hear Jesus Christ himself preach and you would never be saved. You could sit in the midst of revival with people being saved by the thousand all around you, and you would never be saved. If God gives you up, it's a dangerous, dangerous thing to trifle with the witness of the Spirit of God. You need a soul-transforming experience of Christ. Nothing else will do. We have read of miracle workers who perish in hell. People who had hair-raising spiritual experiences and they perished in hell. It's not such a thing that will save you. It is Christ who saves. You need Christ. The Holy Spirit woos you to Christ. The Bible points you to Christ. The church, the bride, cries, come to Christ. Parents, pastors, teachers, loved ones, unite in one common plea that you would come to Christ. That's the need. To trifle with that call is to court the fires of hell. Remember, there is great love in God. There is great patience in God. There is great forgiveness with the Lord. Come and take it ere it's too late. Because when God withdraws that offer, it will never be renewed. May God enable every man and woman here to make very, very sure that he or she has Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.